Several people during the day or during the week have asked me, you know, what happened when the Pope was there. Mm-hmm. And so I was telling them, mm-hmm. I was just telling them what I knew, because I did not go to the official events. So probably for the tape, I need to tell people that this is Agnes Ann Shum from Denver talking about the Pope's visit in Denver August 12th to 15th of this year, 1993. And we're just having a conversation, right?
Right.
We, for 2 months before the Pope came, we had a morning, in both morning papers, we had a front page article for at least 2 months ahead of time. It was day after day after day after day, and it was all of the logistical problems and how to house 150,000 young people, and aren't there any more volunteers out there? There was a staff of I don't know how large, worked for over a year. And a couple of years ago in Poland, when they had World Youth Day, which is what this was, they had a staff of three that did the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure much cheaper. I don't know how many million this cost.
Well, I'm sure.
But it was billed for a pilgrimage for the youth. And so it was Catholic youth from all over the world. And I don't know, 800,000 U.S. and then every country you want to name. And then they stayed in homes. They stayed in homes in the area. People took them in, and the responsibility then was to pack them a lunch and to deposit them like at a local church or pickup center and pick them up at night. The fun part was that they weren't available until about 11 p.m. and they had to be back at that site about 7 in the morning. So it was some very long days and very short nights. But the youth were there, well, they started coming in over a week ahead. And so they were doing some touristy kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then part of the purpose of this whole thing was supposed to be catechesis, which is teaching them more about the religion.
Getting young people interested in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And one place that they had for the English speakers was Bronco Stadium, which holds 75,000 people. That was one English-speaking site. They had other people, you know, other sites for different nationalities and different language groupings. They had about six different translation languages, and so that was massive. They had this one picture I have here is shows Celebration Plaza. Why don't you pull a chair over?
Okay.
Shows Celebration Plaza, which is downtown Denver, which was kind of the core, the center. And this is like from the 22nd floor down. And so these right in front here are all the porta potties.
Oh, yes.
Otherwise called Vatican's.
Oh, yes. It's a massive amount of people there.
Well, yeah, and this one was kind of early in the morning, so there weren't as many as possible. And they had a big stage area. Let's see which direction it was. Over here. Mm-hmm. It was over here where you couldn't see. So they had a big stage area here. And then these were all different kinds of booths, informational primarily, mm-hmm. That people could access. Too late, Carolyn.
So this is an intimate gathering?
This is very intimate gathering.
Come join us.
All right.
Come join us. I'm hoping that you'll have some questions because I don't want to talk for an hour.
Okay.
And besides, they're taping, so be careful what you say. I was just showing the downtown base, if you want. This one wasn't even busy. Here are a few of the Vatican's.
Oh. And there's this piece.
Yeah, but there was literally no problem in terms of violence and
how wonderful.
You know, anything like that.
I was kind of concerned about that.
No, there really was nothing. There's a mall downtown in the downtown area, and it usually has some shuttle buses running back and forth. Go ahead and flip through those. There's some shuttle buses.
What is this anyway?
Well, it's a plaza. It's called all kinds of things, but it's Civic Center Plaza, basically. The city and county building is here on this side, on the west. And then on the east side is the state capitol. And this is kind of a space between where a lot of events for the city take place.
So y'all have gotten this far already?
No, we didn't start there.
Where do we start?
Any place you want to start. There's just a variety of different pictures.
Oh, you look good in red.
Yeah, it's a good color. What I was involved with were the core group, or the Catholic Organizations for Reform, where we were kind of running parallel events.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are saying, you know, I don't want to be involved with that mob scene. I don't, you know, I want to be another voice for what Catholics are all about. And mm-hmm. So there are like 23 groups involved in this coalition, in the core group, the Catholics Organization for Reform. And so here you have nine different representatives at a press conference. Oh. And this woman, Ruth, was at my house with her husband. She is the executive director of the Women's Ordination Conference, which has been working for close to 20 years, focusing on the ordination of women in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just one of the events, or one of the groups. There's this fellow represents Dignity, which is the Catholic gay and lesbian group. And this is women's from Canada, similar kind of, you know, core group, if you want. There are different ones. This fellow is a former priest, and his group focuses on married clergy. So that there's a whole variety of people in this coalition. But these nine representatives had this press conference talking about why we need some reform in the Catholic Church and why mm-hmm. the Pope is not the only part of the Catholic Church. And so and it was covered well. There were like nine TV cameras rolling through mm-hmm. the whole two-hour press conference, which is a long time. Yeah. Of course, we had international press
mm-hmm.
all over town, and Ruth was at my house, so you know it was like one of the key places for the press to call for more information
mm-hmm.
while we're doing these other kinds of things. So we were there for 2 hours, and then that evening went back, and we had Ruth spoke, and then a fellow from Quixote Center, which is a focus on peace and justice kinds of issues. And then we had a representative for Aristide from Haiti.
Oh.
Aristide is the ousted,
yeah.
chosen
yeah. Mm-hmm.
democratic leader. And so there was a representative there. So that was another whole thing for people to focus on. And then I've been working for a year with the ordained clergy women of other denominations, focusing on Catholic Church and ordination.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were determined not to have protests, but to have an alternative prayer
mm-hmm.
vigil. And that's what we did. We were trying to stay away from where the Pope was. We were trying to be on the other side of town.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, we had Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And Friday night we were in City Park and had just asked the people who were there, the women who were there, to indicate if you're interested in ordination in the Catholic Church in a new Reformed church. And just at that point, the papal helicopter flew over. So we all waved.
Oh, dear.
It was so fun. And we had no idea that he was going to be landing so close to
mm-hmm.
City Park, which is where we were. But everything was blocked off. And thinking, what is going on? And then realized they're holding this because this is going to be the helipad at this high school right next to City Park.
Was there a lot of protection around for him?
They had the CIA, the social,
oh, yeah.
you know, the Secret oh, Service, the city,
yes.
county, everything you want to
yeah,
mention.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that back there is just a whole bunch
mm-hmm.
of other things. But this was our poster and our logo. And so then on Saturday evening of that week, we had the ecumenical communion service with 21 women on the altar, including
mm-hmm.
two of us
mm-hmm.
standing next to the bishop. The Methodist bishop, who's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 21 women on the altar for the Eucharistic communion service. And that was just real powerful because
it
was a big church that was full
okay.
of us overwhelming.
Everyone that's interested in the Lord.
That's right. And, mm-hmm. And also to say, you know, how about women? Because there were no women on the altar. There were no women anywhere near the Pope other than the one behind the scenes doing all the work.
Yeah, of course.
There were no women recognized. It was just, you know, there's no equality there. And which is one reason why we chose to offer something else. And people mm-hmm. were so excited. And many more, I think, would have been there if they had had some kind of transportation. This was like the night before the big mass.
Sure.
And they marched 80,000 youths 14 miles from downtown out to this park.
Give me goosebumps. That sounds great.
Well, it mm-hmm. was, except that they weren't focusing on some of the practicalities. Mm-hmm. They had, on Friday, they encouraged them to fast. Now these are youth who aren't used. Yes. I mean, they don't sleep well, they don't eat well, they don't.
Sure.
They weren't drinking enough water, so they encouraged them to fast on Friday, march 14 hours on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness it was a cloudy day, but it was still in the upper 80s.
Oh.
And hot, fast dehydration because we're so dry.
Well, sure, it's mile high.
Mile high, mm-hmm. and so they weren't used to the altitude, yeah. so it was all massive problems. And that evening, people began dropping off, like flies. They could not carry into the park coolers, bottles,
no water.
Jars, not unless they're in plastic. Well, you can only do so much.
Oh, sure, for that many people.
And so many of them didn't carry adequate water. Adequate water wasn't available. By the time Sunday morning came, there were already 10,000 had been treated for dehydration.
Oh.
Now, they camped out overnight.
Yeah.
And at 5 a.m., I think it was, they opened the gates for the public to come in. They had roped off areas within the park out there that would hold like 2,500 people in each roped-off square with 10-foot-wide aisles between, so they could get ambulance or, medical help or whatever through. Smart, that's the one smart thing they did. But after, fast for one day, hike the next day, and then stand out in the sun. And that morning it was brilliant sunshine.
Oh.
And that's 6 o'clock on. Mm. By 8 o'clock or so, there was a 2-hour wait in line at the porta potties.
2 hours?
And they were saying, the reporters were saying, well, get in line now, because by the time you get there, you're going to need it.
Wow.
Not only that, but they couldn't get in to service them. And so they'd drive by in a truck and just throw in toilet paper. Mm-hmm. And they were so mad they'd throw it back out at them. And then, and people were dropping from dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
They were just treating them by the hundreds at a time. Ended up with 20,000 people needing treating for dehydration.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
it wasn't a good time to fast and
start. No. Not in the Colorado heat in August.
Yeah. Or doesn't the week make sense. Before or something.
Yeah. But it was just a whole combination that made no sense at all. They finally, after having said to them you can't carry glass in, they were finally at the last, possibility, they were throwing them glass bottles of water.
Mm. Glass?
That's all it was. That's all there was.
Uh-huh.
There was nothing else they could access, and uh-huh. so that it helped some people. But you could just see people just really keeling over.
Mm.
20,000 people,
mm.
and I think the next morning they still had about 1,000 hospitalized.
Oh my goodness!
So by the time they hydrated them, then they could ship them back out.
Well.
How many people showed up all in all? Did they estimate?
Somewhere between 350,000 to 500,000. I don't know that anybody ever finally got it.
Yeah.
It took them, hours. They opened the gates at 5 a.m. and the mass was scheduled at 9:30. Well, it was about half an hour late. And they knew, they were telling people ahead of time, don't expect to be out of the park until at least 2 hours after it's over.
Sure.
Because of the mm-hmm. Way to get them out. The highways were unreal. It's one reason I didn't want to go anywhere near it.
Mm-hmm.
People who lived in that area had to have a parking pass, uh-huh. an entrance pass, just to get into their house.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole was just a humongous area. And the funny part was that I was talking, one of the women pastors here, Lutheran, mm-hmm. had her church was right out in that area. And so she knew months ahead there was no way to hold services.
Mm-hmm.
So she had started negotiating with the Catholic Church. to hold services. And we said, wouldn't that be the irony of it all?
Yeah.
You know, it ended up that she actually was in a different place, but there was a lot of negotiating going on.
Uh-huh.
But there were just massive, massive problems with, you know, just with a multitude of people. They had one of the bypass highways, mm-hmm. one of the outer highways, had it all one way. You could get it on at like Central, well, up 1500 north. And this was 100 south. You know, that whole distance,
oh, wow.
It was all one way, and there, you could not get off at any ramp. Oh. That was how to get in line to go to the parking.
Oh.
When it was over, they reversed that process to get people back to the airport because about 100,000 people had to leave that day. Plus the fact that Gore was in town telling the Pope goodbye, and so they had to shut down the airport. Well, Gore, of course, went out of the military, but they still had to shut down the airways. And then when the Pope left at 7:30, they shut down the airport again. You know, nothing flying by. You
sure.
can't afford that to happen.
Yeah, right.
And so you've got 100,000 people at the airport trying to get out.
Oh, my goodness.
Some of them have just been treated for dehydration. I mean, it was just a gigantic nightmare. But there was a lot of good stuff, a lot of good information. The press, I think, did a really fine job. The local TV stations
mm-hmm.
were feeding into the nationals. Some of the national programs could not get airtime out of Denver.
All right.
Like the McNeil Lehrer Hour, which is on PBS.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They flew them to Chicago for the program because their satellite had no more time on it.
Mm-hmm.
They literally could not get airtime out because they had to go through all the local channels.
Good grief.
And they were sewed up.
Were you out there?
I was in town. I was not out at the madhouse, so to speak.
Okay.
I did spend quite a bit of time at in the media center, in the downtown hotel, and actually it got comical because this friend of mine who came in from D.C. had press credentials, and so we went straight down there to get her press credentials and had to go through, you know, Secret Service clearance, everything. And we get down there, and she had done this months ago, and she says, my husband has the camera equipment. Could he get press credentials also? And they said, oh, sure. So they made him up right there in about 10 minutes.
Wow.
The next day, I went back down with Ruth, and we left John at my house to answer the phone because we were playing telephone tag with all the reporters. And so we left him at home, and we went down, and I said, John, give me your press tag. Now, he's balding. You know,
you mean
10
it,
years older
it
than
worked?
I am. I did what all the other reporters were doing. They just wore them backwards. So here's this thing hanging around my neck. If anybody had stopped and looked at it, there is obviously not the same person.
That could have been dangerous for him.
I know. I mean, this is the crazy part, you know, after all this tight security for months and months. Even the priests on the altar with the Pope had to go through Secret Service clearance. You know, and then here I am walking in and out of this press room talking to all the media from all over the world with somebody else's press pass. You know, I mean, yeah, if they wanted to see it, I would have showed them, but it was just, I don't believe this. It was just crazy. And I wasn't trying to do anything deviant. I was just trying to help Ruth, you know, respond to the call she was making and do what she had to do. But it was just, it was crazy, you know, it was just really crazy mm-hmm. when you think of the kind of security they had and then the lax security.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I don't know what they had finally out at the park, but they had, you know, 350,000 to 500,000. I don't know if they ever finalized a count or
it's
not.
It's hard to.
They spent millions, I don't know how many, on, you know, all the preparation. As mm-hmm. I say, 2 years ago when they had this World Youth Day in Poland, it took a staff of three.
Oh,
yeah. U.S. never does things like that. So I know that they had, I think toward the end they were reporting like 200 staff people and 400 to 600 volunteers a day. And even then asking for more volunteers, they were looking for translators, for the last point, you know, 20 people came in from France and they don't have a place to stay. Have you got a home? Have you got a school? Have you got a church? They were staying, actually. We have this big coliseum where we have the stock show, which is a gigantic rodeo in January. And they were actually staying out there in the livestock barns.
Oh, dear.
Obviously, they were clean.
Yes.
But the showers that they were using were out in that area. I mean, it was like, you know, a cattle pen. I think they had 4,000 cots set up out there or something, some ungodly number.
Well, every city of Denver must have made whatever. If it cost X number of millions, it was probably 2 to 3 X millions that Denver took in.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that there was a lot that they brought in.
Yeah, people had to eat.
You know, that McDonald's had the franchise.
Really? Oh, wow.
McDonald's had the franchise.
Why did you have to tell me that?
Truth is truth. But they had the McDonald's out at the camp overnight. Mm.
They were quick, fast food. So
sure.
They were
down at the plaza. I was showing them here. Here's a piece of, where's the plaza? This is Celebration Plaza, renamed from Civic Center.
Oh.
That, you know, it's from the 22nd floor that I took that. But the kids were fascinating. You know, they would interview them just kind of on the street. And we did the same thing one day. We just walked down, started talking to these young folks, and I was really heartened by it.
It's good to have the young people excited about it.
Yeah, I was so afraid that they were, you know, swallowing everything hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
Because we had the usual message of, you know, no choice about abortions, absolutely no kind of birth control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole message that it's like...
Well, do you know what percentage of Catholics practice?
Oh, yeah, right.
Birth control.
Yeah, 87% do not agree with the church on it. I know that.
In this country, 4% practice according to the dictates of the church.
Yeah.
So it's not.
But we were concerned. We're curious as to, you know, who the young people were who finally managed to come together like that. And as we began talking to them, it was real heartening because they were saying, "Oh yeah, we hear it. We just don't believe it." And so it was like they were making some of their own choices and some of their own decisions. They were guided by principle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we talked with them, they knew pretty clearly who they were and where they wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so it felt really good to just kind of walk around them and just stop and chat with this one and that one. One of the hottest selling items was a Pope hat made out of foam. And it was. I mean, you'd walk, you'd look down the mall and there were 2,900 Pope hats. Made out of foam. It was great fun. They had a cardboard cutout figure standing at the edge of this plaza where you could have your picture taken with the Pope for $5.
$5.
$5 for a Polaroid. Yeah. And I said, no, not me. I'm not gonna spend $5 on that. But it was,
well,
you know, the
Pope didn't know anything
gimmicky
about this junk, I'm sure.
Unless he's blind.
Well,
he wasn't down in that area at all.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
He wasn't in that area. He was.
Think about somewhere.
He was in the stadium.
I don't know. I'm just interested.
Yeah, he went. He was in the stadium. He was out there at the big area. He visited with this is what's so crazy. About 30% of our population is Hispanic.
Oh.
He went to visit with the Vietnamese Catholics.
Okay.
No special delegation for Hispanic. He wanted, you know, it is, but at the same time, it's like, you know, how about, you know, pay attention to some reality. It was. It really was. And his focus, I think, was, you know, well, there's no more communism in Vietnam. And it's free at last. But it just, there was a whole lot that was not good planning, I don't think. The people, you know, people say, yeah, it was exciting to see him. But when we were out here walking around in that plaza, they were actually having mass at one end of it. And you could hear the loudspeaker, you could hear what was going on, but there were very few who were paying attention. There were very few who were right there they were, you know, laying on the grass, trying to get something to eat, trying to sleep.
After passing out from the heat.
Well, this was before.
Oh, this is before.
This was before. So it was a lot of stuff that, you know, it was a mob scene. I guess it's all I can say.
Are you from Denver?
I'm from Denver. Okay. Yeah, I live in Denver. As I said before, that we had at least 2 months ahead of time. Every single day, we had a front page article. And about a month before, the sheriff of Arapahoe County, who's really kind of a neat guy, I keep watching him, and this is the county where the mass actually was. And about a month before, headline, Pat Sullivan cancels Pope's mass. And he had been trying to communicate with the organizers to see what he needed to do to start planning. And the, you know, it was like, oh yeah, we'll get to it.
Oh dear.
He says, well, if we can't do the planning, there's no way we can be ready. So we're not going to provide any security. So you have to cancel it. And then he was questioning whether the county residents should, the tax money, should have to pick up the cost of all that, the primarily, you know, police and firefighters. Mm-hmm. And he estimated $200,000 mm-hmm. just for that county. Mm-hmm. Now we're in a 5-county area.
Oh.
Ah.
Four surrounding Denver. Mm-hmm. And so that was just his county. And so it was like, we don't have any money, we can't do this. Oh, don't worry. We'll raise private money. And so there's all this big hullabaloo, and 1 week later they had $1,000.
Oh, not in the bucket.
So it was, okay, folks. So they finally got it ruled out, ironed out. But what he was focusing on is he needed some communication so he could do his planning. They had the National Guard. They had all of, the police. I talked to some policemen in Denver who had been working like 8 days straight for 15 hours a day, you know, and didn't know when they were going to see another one. They said, when he leaves. But everybody couldn't take a day off immediately. But they were just really tired. He was staying down at the cathedral, or at the sacristy, or the rectory there at the cathedral. And they had renovated the cathedral for $500,000 or more. They had redone the exterior and interior of the rectory to the tune of $80,000. And they had bought a new bed for $2,500 so we could sleep in.
What? $2,500? What kind of a bed is that?
I don't know, but I can't even imagine.
Of course, now he didn't ask for this. The people.
No, I know that. But it's like, sure. You know, somebody is real
somebody
wacko.
Yeah, really.
It's crazy, absolutely crazy. Mm-hmm. There were no homeless on the street during this time.
They swept them up.
I don't know where they were.
Maybe they said they were Catholics and they wanted.
They probably were smart.
They got in homes.
Sure.
Got rid of more.
Well, you know, there are homes, but yeah. there are always a few who choose to be on the street, but there weren't any. You know, somebody said, aren't there any homeless in Denver? Yes, there are. But it was organized chaos. You know, and depending on what hour you watched, it was more chaos or more organized.
Is that the way it is, though, when any famous person comes to any city? Wouldn't it be? No?
No. Denver is that it's the first time in our history we've had a gathering that large. Now, you know, New York can pull those numbers at the drop of a hat.
Yeah,
in the East, you can do that. In Denver, I mean, that, you know, it's massive. Mm. That's a fourth of our population.
Oh, yeah.
Or feels like it. But it's just not, it's just more than what we can handle. But we had the city, county, state, federal law enforcement agencies right across the board. Who was in charge at any one moment depended on what was going on. The Secret Service, of course, were, you know, because of head of state, the Secret Service were the ones finally in charge and, you know, had the helicopter and the motorcade and everything else. But that's what was funny with this, because as we left City Park that day, it was perfect timing because he had landed like just at the edge of the park and we were coming out to the park to walk down to the cathedral. With these marvelous banners. And we had like six of them, and we purposely had planned to stay clear away from where he was because we did not want to be advertised as protest. That was not our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying to hold prayer vigils, focusing on, you know, that women also can serve. And so we had just come out onto the avenue, and we had six of these up along the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the motorcade.
Wow.
The motorcade.
You
know, he's in about that third car. As he drove by, we had a clear view.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, yeah, as Catholics, we were excited.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, we were excited.
Larger vehicle.
The funny, yeah, it's in the one between the two, obviously larger.
Yeah.
But the fun part, let me see if I put this one in, was that as we were coming out of the park and we, you know, when we realized what was happening here, it was like, oh no, this is not real. This can't be happening. All the policemen came running from all directions toward the fence. I'm sure because we were a potential threat.
Sure.
We had no intention of doing anything other than walking. Yeah, it's kind of blurry because I had to take it fast, but they were all,
wow.
This phalanx of police, you know, boom.
Yeah.
And they were like just on the other side of the fence from where we were. And the motorcade went right. Just,
this is one of your banners here.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And see, I was standing right there at the fence and just leaned out and shot that. And as he drove by, he was sitting on that side of the car and looking that way and, you know, blessing everybody along the way. And we were all like, all right, look, look, look.
Wow.
He could not have missed them because all these banners were right there.
Mm-hmm.
We had like six of them right in a row.
And they're large.
They're large. It's
yes.
It's clear. I think there's a pretty clear message. But it was not.
The artist for that.
It was. It's a woman in Colorado Springs who's a marvelous
yes.
person. She does t-shirts and posters and all kinds of things. And she just, you know, donated her design.
Mm.
We said, we want something that's a clear message. And so this is what she came up with.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was not our agenda mm-hmm. to protest and to be where he was. And after we had all our plans settled down, then we realized he was going to land there.
Yes, God had those.
So, yeah, you know,
plans.
So Friday night we're sitting in the park and here he flies over and we're all just like, hi.
Oh, God,
somebody later told us that they were in the helicopter also and said, oh, it was, you know, you were really clear.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one of our posters out there that night too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just an opportunity for people who didn't want to be involved in the bedlam and who really wanted to say, you know, there is another part.
Mm-hmm.
There is another part to life. And so that was a series of three events that were billed as prayer vigils and that we were not going to be anywhere near protests. There were protests going on.
Oh,
there were other rallies going on. There were other events going on. There was, it was very, very peaceful. The Sunday before, there was a dignity rally at the Capitol that was just marvelous. And it was well attended.
Dignity is the gay and lesbian.
Right, Catholic group.
Mm-hmm.
And we had there was national press there. There were lots of local press. And then there were about six or eight Bible thumpers who were trying to quote from the Bible about Jesus said, you know. And it, that could have been a potential difficulty. But I think the people who were there were just determined not to let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of, actually kind of funny at one point because this one fellow managed to get up where he could get a kind of a pulpit sort of thing. As it says in 1 Romans, blank.
Oh.
He was one of the protesters.
On TV?
Well,
was he on TV?
I don't think they got him on TV. I don't. They could have. They could have.
Well, was he protesting your presence, the ordination of women?
Gay and lesbian.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is wrong according to the Bible.
Oh.
That, you know, I don't, and 1 Romans may not be it, but whatever it was like, it's just, oh. And so we started the music and we started singing.
Oh.
But it could have been a potential
yeah.
real difficult kind of thing. But the organizers, and I think there were enough of us there who knew, just when we've been to so many of those kinds of things that you just pay no attention and just continue doing what you're doing. But we had people, well, I know I was interviewed with, you know, Toronto, ABC that night.
Mm-hmm.
Press across the country, all the national TV. There were so many press people around. It was just pathetic. Really pathetic. It was just, and they were all looking for a story, you know. So everybody, I mean, the top names are covering the big stuff. And so they were all scurrying around the city trying to find other things. And our alternative PBS channel did a whole week of kind of roundtable discussions blended with some movies and short films and mm-hmm. kinds of things. And they did a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they were interviewing other people who were in town, and you know, what do you think? What's your reaction? How are you with this? And
mm-hmm.
it was really quite good. The hard part was for many people that at least a year before we were told you're exempt from attending church that Sunday. Because the churches are going to be closed, because everybody's supposed to be out here at this big mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, people are saying, well, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm 80 years old. I'd like to go to church.
Sure.
I can't go out there, physical disability, or I don't want to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so a number of the churches did manage to stay open. But it was, was discouraged. It was like everybody, of course, would want to be in this mob scene. And they were parking. Like, they did have parking areas, and you could buy a parking ticket ahead. If you paid, I think it was, the cheapest was $5, then you walked in another 5 or 6 miles.
You walked 5 or 6 miles?
After you parked. The more expensive was about $10, and you only had to walk 3 miles, but that's the closest you could get.
Mm-hmm.
The handicapped, now they had the registered youth handicapped or disabled. That was one category, but the public handicapped, those who just came in that morning to attend the mass, were put in the very back of the crowd. They couldn't be seated, you know, they couldn't be within the crowd, and they had no room up close. They did have the disabled registered youth up close. There were about 250 of them. And they were supposed to be able to drive the buses within about two city blocks of that space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they managed that, but that was the planning. But the public disabled were in the back with this crowd, you know, almost to where the porta potties were, the Vaticans, as they called them. There was a 2-hour wait Sunday morning to try to use the porta potties. So they were saying, get in line now, you're going to need it. And I could just envision this. I have come halfway around the world to be at the Pope's Mass, and I'm standing in line with the porta potty. I mean, I just, you know, that was my vision of...
And can't wait.
The reality, that's right.
Yeah.
And many didn't.
Yeah.
Many didn't. And the disaster the next morning, it took them 2 days to clean up.
Oh, I bet.
Just because there was so much. And the fascinating part was the youth themselves, when they were in the downtown area, and there were many, many, many of them, just went around on it, I mean, just kind of automatically picked up any debris that they saw.
Oh.
And so out here... The youth couldn't keep up, and mm-hmm. it was the public. And it was just, you know, said just trampled. Everything was trampled. It'll take 3 years at least for the wildlife grass mm-hmm. to come back. And just really, really hard. So that there was, you know, they kept the environmental damage to a minimum, but when mm-hmm. you've got that many people, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just no way.
Mm-hmm.
But the... I was telling him earlier, 20,000 people were treated for dehydration.
Yeah, that's where it came in.
Just it just was so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then the massive departure was, gosh.
I know there was a diocesan priest from our area who spent his own money and bought everybody a water bottle. Oh, okay, well, I can take it out there with him.
And that would have lasted only... you know, so much.
Yeah,
because the water bottles, those water bottles didn't hold very much if they were the World Youth Day ones.
Not a quart, even?
Maybe a quart.
Well,
but that's not
that
much.
He ordered it before they left home. He gave them to them before they left home. Mm. So I don't know if they were the World Youth Day ones.
Yeah. Well, they had, as I say, the papal hats were a real hot item.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had mugs, and you can still order these. Not the hats, but you can still order these mugs. And the mugs are made so that it's the skyline of Denver, and then when you fill it with hot liquid, Pope shows up.
Oh, jeez.
That's funny.
The papal mugs. Well, I've seen them before where one scene is there, and then when you put something hot in it, it changes to a different scene or colors it or something. There's some kind of heat sensitive. But they had that. They had sweatshirts and t-shirts and hats and backpacks. And
they were making money off of that.
Well, they had to. They had to.
But I suppose it's that way in any big
any big event. Yeah. It's just that it was the biggest thing Colorado has ever had.
Sure.
Ever.
How come they were honored by having him? Do you know? I don't know. Honored or maybe a put
I think it was the Archbishop. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a ladder climber, and he's doing everything he can to
get everybody. See.
I mean, he's back to pre-Vatican I.
Oh.
Not Vatican II, but pre-Vatican I.
Backwards.
I mean, he has just moved everything backwards so far, you know, and so he's getting along very well with his Pope.
Well, some of us can't figure out why after Vatican II they don't have self-evidence, but
hey, there ain't a whole lot of difference.
There really is. You know, after when you read through those documents, you're like, this is
yeah. That's right, yeah. Well, and even to be part of this, you know, all women Eucharistic celebration. And the group that wrote the whole thing was working with a number of denominations and traditions and the whole thing, you know, and you put it all together and you think, this isn't different from what we always do.
You know, it's just, well, my spouse is Catholic, but, you know, when you go to Mass with her or her family, it's obvious that one of us has a dependence upon the other. I'm not sure which is which.
Right.
They couldn't be that similar.
Yeah.
There wasn't a dependence on
right. Yeah. That's true. But it was just it was an incredible experience to be involved with the women in the ecumenical effort, for me personally.
Yeah.
And so many people just thanked us over and over and over because they had another option. And it was a big crowd at church that night, and just a real thrill because this Methodist bishop is only about 5'2" maybe, and she has long blonde hair and holds it back with a bandeau, and has her crozier and her red shoes on. So fun! And she purposely wears her red shoes. And she walked into that church and the whole place erupted in clapping. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just contagious. It was just such a joy.
Yeah.
And to have all women participating, all women on the altar. And of course we got, you're being very sexist about this. Yeah, we probably are at this point, and that's okay.
The church has been sexist.
That's right. We're trying to show you how it feels.
Yeah.
But it was great, and then we had the spouses of the ordained women, who were the male auxiliary, who had like a little reception after the Eucharistic celebration, and then had a party on Sunday after we walked down the street for those of us who had been involved in the planning.
That's great.
So we had the male auxiliary. We had the just barely passed director of the Colorado Council of Churches in the kitchen. And it was like, all right.
You deserved it. You deserved it.
But it was funny because there were about six of us sitting here at the end. And it got comical, actually, because they were saying, is this what they've been talking about? Because they said, gosh, this is the first time I've been waiting for him to finish in the kitchen. And so we were just sitting here enjoying life and talking and saying, hey, this is really, I don't care if they never get finished. But it was just that real turnaround.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a nice, comfortable, working together kind of group. And, you know, and there's a, I've said to several people, I said, well, you know, the Pope organized women in Denver. It's just that he didn't know it.
How many traditions were represented then when you had the celebration?
All the major ones.
Okay.
I don't know what we finally ended up with.
Did April Larson come, you know, or just a Lutheran bishop?
No. This is, the Methodist bishop is one who is just within the past 9 months or so.
Well, come to Denver. Back to the
internet. Yeah, she's not in Denver though.
No.
Yeah, this one is based in Denver, and so it was really nice that she was available. And the fun part was that she had just come there when she came into the church that night. She said she had just come from a meeting with Archbishop Stafford and as an interdenominational kind of gathering, and that they were going on into dinner in this group. And she said, "Well, no, thank you. I have someplace else to be." So she left her next in line to go to the dinner. And I'm sure, knowing her, she probably told them where she was going and why. But she's just a very quiet, unassuming woman, mm-hmm. and gave a beautiful, beautiful sermon on From Silence to Song. Mm-hmm. It was just really lovely. We had a woman there who was ordained in 1925.
No kidding. What church was that?
Methodist.
Oh.
Yeah, I think Methodists have ordained women longer than any other denomination.
1925. She's, what is she, 80? 88 years old, I think. So she was young. But, you know, it was like, gosh, it was just a real thrill.
Yeah.
And we had, you know, we had black and white and Asian, Hispanic, all ordained women other than me and Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some marvelous liturgical dancing, and music was just great. It was just a real exciting kind of time that, you know, a little bit smaller gathering, but, you know, we were here, and then had the press, and then we were watching, we had TV on almost 24 hours a day, you know, just flipping channels, and,
mm-hmm.
and we'd been interviewed so much, we were trying to capture what we could and see how the press was reporting or what piece they were taking out of what you might have said.
Yeah.
And I was getting calls, you know, "Oh, just saw you on TV, and I missed it all."
Oh.
You know, just no way you could keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the highways were crowded, the streets were busy, that, you know, you have to figure extra time to get any place you were going. It was a major disruption.
Mm-hmm. How long was the paralysis in place?
Well, actually, only about a week. They, you know, the youth kept coming in. They started coming in like a week ahead. And then the Pope didn't come in until Thursday. And then Friday flew off into the mountains to pray a while.
Tennis shoes?
Yes, that's where he got the tennis shoes with the special request that they have gold laces in them.
Nike?
And he got a baseball cap and something else that somebody gave him. And so you've got all these pictures of the Pope sitting on a rock out there, you know, there's cameras focused. And, I mean, he must have had all of maybe 2 hours to himself, if any.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is where they spend like 20,000 putting city flowers in the mountains. And I think they said in like plastic pots. It was they said the chipmunks were getting so fat. They were eating them about as fast as they could plant. It just made no sense.
Well, I saw this picture of him out in the woods, and it said how he liked to hike, you know. And, you know, but here he is in this long white cassock.
That's right.
Sitting on, you know, what looked like, you know, a fairly...
Hardly posed at all.
Heavy blanket, you know. That's right. And I thought, who in their right mind goes hiking and something
That's
like
right.
that?
Well, and where he hiked was all of, you know, from here to the hotel, maybe.
Oh.
You know, I mean, I know there is not, unless you really get back in the woods, there's not a lot of hiking space in that place right there. And they had all of the emergency everything's tied up. They had helicopters equipped with firefighting equipment because they knew their helicopter or the fire trucks couldn't get through the crowd.
Oh,
you know, they had massive preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, every time the Pope went up or came down, then everything had to stop in the sky. And then Clinton came in to greet him, so that was another whole layer.
Oh, yes.
And then Gore came to tell him goodbye, so that was, again, you know, so it was just, I can't imagine that kind of I don't even know what
Did
to call it.
Did he do a mass at all? Did he have...
Oh, yeah, he had mass.
Uh-huh.
He had mass. But it was, you know, it's just a lot of the pomp and ceremony that makes you wonder how much prayer is involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and yet I know, I mean, there is a charisma, there is magnetism there, there is a...
He is well.
I saw the Pope only 10 feet away. I did not expect to be anywhere near. I mean, I had not accepted a ticket, you know, one of the few thousand, one of the select 37,000 for this one event was, you know, I don't think I want to do it.
Well, I talked to some kids that went, that were, I mean, the thing that they enjoyed about it, or talked about it anyway, was the feeling of unity with people from all.
Yeah, and that I can relate to. Yeah, because we were talking with all kinds of people too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I appreciate that.
Oh, I think there was probably a lot of positives to it, and including, you know, the families where international youth were staying. You know, there was that part to it too, and you know, and all the translators that they needed, and the people, you know, who could communicate like that. And there were a number of human interest stories where a delegation would land and they had no place to go.
Mm.
They didn't realize you really. It would have been nice to know ahead of time that you had a place to be. And so, you know, then they would connect with some church or other and get them a place to stay. But it was, you know, there were a lot of positives. I'm not saying it was all negative, but it stretched the resources, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Really stretched them. And I know that the Flight for Life helicopters were booked a year ahead.
Mm.
You know, thou shalt not have any ordinary medical emergencies. The hospitals were all at full staff. There were, you know, police, firefighters, National Guard, nobody had vacation possibilities at that point, nobody had a day off. And so it was like really using all the resources around. All the hotels were booked, all the motels were booked. These youth were being bused at least an hour out of Denver because there wasn't any more place in Denver.
Sure.
And there were a number of people who advertised their houses, and they said, we're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to rent our house for the week? We're gone. We're not going to stay here.
Hurt Mondo Bucks.
Yeah.
It was like that for the Super Bowl in the Twin Cities.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But this was, you know, the stadium can be horrendous at times, because I have to go down that street every once in a while when they're having a game at the stadium and then something at the McNichols Arena right across the street. So if you have two events there, don't go near that part of town if you want to go anyplace. And this alternative PBS station was two blocks away, and I had to get somebody over there. So I was like, okay, let's see. It's here, and how can I go this direction to get in there?
Yeah.
But there wasn't the traffic problems that I thought there would be at that point, because I think a lot of the youth walked across the bridge, did a lot of walking, and they were busing them rather than private cars. I mean, there were enough private cars, but the busloads and busloads and busloads. And Monday morning, the day after the big mass, I was out. I had to drop somebody off at, I think, like 7 o'clock. And the buses were already beginning to pull up and unload. And they were saying any international travelers be there at least 3 hours ahead.
Oh.
Any people within the U.S. be at least 2 hours ahead at the airport. Just because of the numbers. It was bigger actually than what we usually have in the height of the ski season, which is bad now. So it was just you know, there was just a lot going on.
It was once in a lifetime.
It was, and you know, and as I say, even as a Catholic, it was like, yeah, you know, the Pope just went down the street right there where I was standing. It was, oh, I waved at the Pope. I mean, it was, you know, it was just total happenstance. But it was also, it felt like we needed to have another voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had all this coalition of groups, you know, Catholic organizations for reform that, you know, hey, if we'd follow Vatican II, look where we could be.
Mm-hmm.
But the press was very friendly, very open. Who knows what still will show up, you know, in different publications, because you've got some of the monthlies as well as the dailies. And who knows? I don't know. But there, you know, he's not well. You can see that. We can see that on the TV. You know how he does this blessing thing. Well, this hand was up much higher than that left hand. It was like it was stiff or artificial or there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when he'd be sitting so that they were near each other, that left hand looked large and discolored. So I'm not sure what was going on, but it was just real obvious that there was something wrong. And he would, you know, he'd put it on the, kind of just lay it on a chair and keep it there. You know,
how old is he?
He's 72, but it was the same year that Reagan was shot that he was also. And I know that that caused some problems. And then he's had rectal cancer, you know, last couple of years. And there is a real question whether he'd live long enough to be here.
Oh.
So he's not well.
Yeah.
And you know, and he was obviously tired. Even some of the young folks mentioned that, you know, when they were interviewed, when we talked with him too. He said, and at one point they said, yeah, you know, he even looked bored. The kids told us this. Because there was one event when he met with them, you know, as soon as he landed. And so they were doing all the greetings in all these different languages. Oh, can you imagine having just flown in from Rome?
Yeah.
And, you know, just land and then get there. Of course, I mean, they have a whole, you know, they'd renovated airplanes for him. So they had about 50 reporters flying on the same plane with him. Uh-huh. One of them was with the Denver Post. And in order to, let's see, they could not honor their round trip ticket because they had to buy a ticket from Denver to Rome and back. So they had to go to Rome in order to get onto the plane to come in with him. They could not stay. They had to go back to Rome with him and use the other half of that ticket.
Oh, what's the point in that?
That was the bargain in terms of getting on that plane.
Oh.
Wow.
You know, so it's like, whoa. They redid, I think it was a 727 American Airlines, so that the first class cabin was totally redone into bedroom and sitting room. And he had like all kinds of movie videotapes ready to, you know, to watch, including some that I'm thinking, oh, are you sure you want to put those on board?
Like?
Well, I can't remember the titles now, but it was like,
These
are not Mother Teresa's.
Not like Thelma and Louise.
No, but they weren't a whole lot different.
Yeah.
But there were some that I would have questioned. But then, you know, and of course, they'd redone that, you know, the first class, and then the reporters and everybody were in the rest.
Maybe he just didn't be left alone to sleep.
Yeah, he was exhausted because he had been to the Dominican Republic and Mexico.
Oh.
And then came in. And the Pope Mobile, a new Pope Mobile, was built in Mexico and flown into Denver, and I think he might have used 10 to 15 minutes or so. I don't know, you know, where it goes from there. But it was just crazy, because when they went out to the mass, they flew over the crowd at least twice because he wanted to see the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just flew low over the crowd so he could see the lines of the porta-potties and
yeah.
All this. But it was something. He said, yeah, he was in charge if you want at that point. They didn't particularly like it. And then at one point, well, I think they were going to put him in the limousine and bring him over, like, to the altar. And he said, no, he'd rather walk. And so he walked that short distance. But there's just so much hoopla. You know?
Like, not enough exercise.
Why'd they bring him to Holden Village or something?
No, then we'd maybe be able to get in.
Well, no, but I mean, it's like, you know, how about just mixing with ordinary people? He keeps saying he wants to listen, but there's never a chance. You know, they don't give him a chance.
Well, it sounds like he's kind of shielded from any contact.
Well, he's a whole lot shielded.
So it isn't his fault.
Yes and no. I mean, if I were in charge, quote,
instead of a pope,
you know, there's no way. I mean, you can be shielded only as much as you want to be shielded. You know, you can't, I mean, I think somebody else can take over from that and plow through the shield if you want to.
Okay.
But it was quite a big event. I'm glad it's finished.
And then to go here right after that, I mean, what a shift, really.
It has been a shift.
How long have you been here?
Since Saturday. It was like as soon as he left town, then two of us actually left town and got out into the mountains for 48 hours just to decompress.
Yeah.
And then I left Yeah, so we were out Monday night and Tuesday night, so, and Wednesday night I was busy, so I had Thursday at home to do these things.
Well, you got your photos back pretty quickly.
Well, I did. I dropped them in as I, you know, as I could get them. Actually, the one roll, the last roll, I put in the 1 hour, so I got them overnight.
You don't get a lot of that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But they do pretty fast, and actually, I put these in so that I could share it with the person I'm going to be with next week. Because I know she'll want to see them.
Sure.
So.
Well, thank you.
That's all the things you didn't ever want to know about the Pope's visit.
Thank you so much.
For just those three.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I enjoy talking to people who want to know anything and, you know, what I can share.
Thank you.
The Pope has come and gone, and I'm glad it's the week that was.
Yes.
Yeah, he probably is, too.
It's been that kind of a summer.
Where did he go out then, after that?
Back to Rome. Oh. And then, and by now, he was going back to Europe, I think. He was going to place, I want to say Luxembourg, but that doesn't sound right.
He does a lot of traveling, does he?
He has. You know, and he keeps saying he wants to hear the people, he wants to talk to the people, he wants to hear from the people, but... Mm. This group, the core groups, the Catholic organization groups, several of them wrote and asked if they could have an audience.
Mm-hmm.
No way, no time.
Oh boy.
Too busy buzzing the crowds.
I don't have envied him either, though.
Yeah, it's a thankless, crazy thing. But
it's also a choice.
Someday it will change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect to be around to see it happen.
Not your life, our life.
But things will happen. One of the bishops was interviewed, and the reporter said, he asked him if or how long he thought it would take before there would be women ordained, and he said, about 5 years. Well, he's a little more optimistic, one of the Catholic bishops. There are about 7 bishops right now who I think could be talked into doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Are in line for the Pope? Do they know who's?
Oh,
no.
No, and anybody who is, well, the saying is, if you go into the voting as Pope, you come out as a cardinal. It's in this century, they have never elected someone who was just like the one before.
Oh.
So it's almost like the pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be hope. But this, the one bishop said he thought it could be in about 5 years. And so that's hopeful.
Yeah, that's not long.
But the hard part is it needs, you know, the whole system needs to get shifted.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, a lot of women say, yeah, I'd like to be ordained, but I will not be ordained in this system.
Mm-hmm.
No, not the way things are. If we can do some changes here and get any sense of a little tiny piece of equality someplace.
Well, two weeks ago? A few days ago, the members of the Congregation of St. Francis, as well as two of their ministers, Ruth Frost and Phil Zillart, who are ordained lesbian Lutheran ministers, and St. Francis, for having ordained them, was thrown out of the graces of the Lutheran Church, suspended for 5 years. And you can see some people here, although a lot of folks have left of them, but they were, the congregation wears rainbow suspenders.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's signify having been suspended. And also you see a lot of these buttons that say, I support St. Francis.
Yeah, oh, I've seen a bunch of those.
Were they here? Oh, they were?
Yeah. And just wonderful. Phyllis and Ruth had a series called God Goes to the Movies. They did it for 2 weeks. And we watched great films and then would have these discussions afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do that sometimes.
Oh, what were some of the movies you watched?
Oh, we saw The Field, Jesus of Montreal, the Thomas More one that was made in the 60s with Paul Schofield, Madden for All Seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. What else?
Yeah, and see, we show some of those, and then we type the characters. Thanks for coming to chat.
Well, thank you.
You're from Minneapolis?
Both at St. Paul for the last several years.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Carolyn Horner.
I'm from Minnesota, too.
Oh, well, a lot of Minnesota here.
We lived up near Fargo, that's in North Dakota.
60% Minnesota.
Yeah.
And 30% Washington.
I worked as a rural life coordinator for the Lutheran Church in Minnesota for a couple years. Because I kept telling him I knew how to solve the British shortage.
Is what is so crazy.
Yeah.
You know, they'll allow married men first, maybe. And that will be real revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I can't for the life of me understand why they don't allow married.
Neither can anybody else. Yeah.
Well,
we have a marvelous T-shirt. Priestly people come in both sexes.
Yeah.
I have a friend that shared an office, a TA office, with me when we were in grad school, and she and I had. She works with the Library of Congress, and we got together just maybe 3 months ago for the first time in a while. And she had recently married a fellow that was something, I can't remember how he was brought up, but he decided to, and he was also went to seminary, and decided to switch to the Romanian Orthodox Church because the Catholic Church that he was going to, and I think it was Catholic, maybe it was Lutheran, I don't know, but he was really bent out of shape about how they were getting way the heck too liberal in their stance, and that he wanted to go back, he wanted to get to some place, it must have been Lutheran, but he wanted to be someplace where people really respected the traditional values and wouldn't let women in and so I'm sitting there thinking, I can't believe that she is telling me this because this is not where she used to be, and so then I said, okay, well, why wouldn't it be okay for a woman to be in the ministerial role? In a priest's role. And she said, because it is clear that the priests are Jesus, the representatives of Jesus on earth. Therefore, it cannot be a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ruth, my friend, in her talk, said, you know, people claim that women can't be ordained because at the Last Supper there were no women. And she says, now who do you think cooked and cleaned up?
Yeah, really. That's great.
But it's just constant chip away.
Yeah, exactly.
And people are saying, why not? And it's like, don't ask us, go ask them.
Yeah.
I don't see any logic to it either. But a number of people have said, wouldn't you like to be ordained? I said, no way. Not as things are now. And I said, even then, I don't think I would feel a call within myself as much as respond to others calling me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's what it would have to be for me. But there's no way in the way things are now that I would even think about it.
Why? Because it'd be such a continual chipping
away
at you, even if you were in that.
I mean, it's so hierarchical right now. Mm-hmm. There is no collaboration. There's no collaborative mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't work hierarchical anymore. I just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can't be treated as equal, then I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I won't waste my time.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot I can do without batting my head against the wall.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But I see these marvelous women, I've been working with, and it's just such a joy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just such a whole different atmosphere. A whole different way of praying, there's just a gentleness that enters mm-hmm. in that I don't experience in the mm-hmm. church. I mean, it's like, sure, there are individuals, but just generally, if I can't find, if I don't know what church I'm going to and what kind of a liturgy there is, you ain't going to find me there. And luckily, there are one or two in Denver. There's one I go to regularly. It's a large parish. But there's a lot of involvement. There are about 300, at least 300 volunteers who are involved in the parish, really actively involved in making it work, like planning liturgy and just doing that kind of like here, the volunteer efforts it takes to make it run.
Well, you live in a community in Denver. I just can't, are you unique in this community in your stance? And if you're not, then why hasn't that community been excommunicated from the church?
Well, they can't. They don't know what to do with us.
I would imagine.
I was telling Ron Young this morning, we were talking about a friend that, that he knows, and he said, is she still a sister? And I said, no, she's a co-member. And it's a different affiliation. It's non-vowed members. And we have male, female, Catholic, and anybody else, including people who claim no religion, but people who connect with our values of justice.
And they live in your community?
Not necessarily. Well, we've got a lot of our own who live, alone
mm-hmm.
because of various circumstances. But there are people who want to relate with a group who holds the same values.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this whole non-vowed wing, if you want, and the Vatican doesn't know what to do with this. And they keep saying, your rule has to read da-da-da-da, and we're saying, sorry, this is our lived experience, and we're not going to change that.
Mm-hmm.